Malik Willis, is he the next mobile QB cheat code for fantasy football? Does he even need Ryan Tannehill's mentorship? Well, we're here to break that today with Keelan Blue on the Basketball Fantasy Football Podcast, starting right now. Welcome back to another edition of the Razzball Fantasy Football Podcast. I'm your host, Bobby LaMarco. Today, we're here to break down Malik Willis with a Titans fan, one of our very own Keelan on the show later. We'll bring on in just a second. Before we do, we want to make sure that you're actually subscribing to the Razzball Fantasy YouTube channel. I mean, people, I just checked the show analytics. 75% of you don't even subscribe. Come on, hit the subscribe, hit that bell, come back for more. We're going to be breaking down a bunch of great content through the summer and all the way through NFL season. But before we do, I want to make sure you also talk about our TikTok. And we also have an IG account. We're breaking down daily content videos on there as well. If you like that short, quick information, that you can get it right on there as well. But most importantly, make sure you're going to razzball.com. We have all great new stuff coming up on the site over the next few weeks. But also, if you're a big fan of baseball, hockey, basketball, we do all the sports. We have great articles across the board. So make sure you're joining that. Without further ado, I'm bringing in my co-host for today, Keelan Blue. What's going on, Keelan?
Hello again.
Yes. This back. Time, Keelan has decided to keep lay low on a Tuesday evening and not be at a bar for the show. So we're excited to have her.
I have to take a break every once in a while.
And listen, we're glad you're taking a break with the Razzball Fantasy Football Podcast. Now, Keelan, we know that you are a fan of the Tennessee Titans, and yes, you do want to talk to us today about Malik Willis. So let's hear it. What did you learn about Malik? And tell us the fun facts you wanted us to know.
Yeah, absolutely. So Malik Willis is now lucky number 7 for the Tennessee Titans. But he has a very, very interesting story leading up to how he became a beloved Titan. So originally, he was drafted to Auburn as the backup QB to Jarrett Stidham. But in around 2019, he was like, I need to go for it. I want to play football. That's what I came here to do. And it's something he admitted, like maybe, you know, he wanted to play football. He had that goal, but he even admits now, like, I don't think I quite realized how difficult it was going to be as a non-5-star recruit to go into the transfer portal and expect to get the starting QB job. However, he ends up at Liberty University, which, you know, is a Christian university, obviously not a huge football school. And I did look this up before I came on. So the last time they actually had a player selected in the first round was 1990. And it was a tight end named Eric Green. So just to give you an idea of how big that school is in football, not that big. So he kind of had this upward battle. You know, he went from being a kind of little fish in a big pond to a big guy in a smaller pond. So so whenever he went to Liberty, his coach there, you guys might recognize his name, it was Hugh Freeze. He was the head coach in the movie The Blind Side, which you know, is obviously a real story because he is a real guy. He was also at Ole Miss, and so that's been Malik's football coach in college for the past 2 years while he's kind of bloomed into this, the star. So, you know, right now when he was working with Hugh Freeze, they specifically did a kind of different kind of offense. It's a spread offense. So that's going to kind of play into how things work out for Malik in the draft. So for this year's draft, luckily my Titans picked him up in round 3 as pick 86. And you know, it was kind of a surprise because he had been projected to be maybe as high as even the number 2 pick. That was a little generous. However, he was supposed to be a lot higher. So he didn't end up going until round 3, which the Titans traded up for to get him in that pick. And so, you know, it was a little weird. I remember like we were watching the draft here in my house and talking about it. And it was kind of like, oh, weird, like that a quarterback, he was only the third one chosen, that he fell that far. So one of the big reasons and the weaknesses of Malik is that he hasn't had extensive offensive experience. I mentioned that Coach Freeze had that sort of spread offense. So he kind of lacked on development in that way. So because of that, he fell pretty far in the rankings. It wasn't because of his maturity or his character or anything like that. It was strictly because that kind of offense isn't really necessarily transferable to the NFL right away. So because of that, he's projected not to be super valuable until maybe his second or third year of playing, which is obviously, you know, playing into all of this and how you might think about drafting him in the future. And maybe, again, as we kind of talked about last week, or yeah, last week with Chris of All Day, you know, it might not pay off for a year or two. Additionally, you know, there are some other pros for him. He's got a crazy strong right arm. He can throw really far down the field. He's super fast, both in throwing and scrambling, which are all huge things. So I think I saw comparisons to him that even if his passing didn't progress to a preferable point, he would still be something like a Jalen Hurts or even a Lamar Jackson, which is pretty awesome. There were like a pretty extensive list of cons about him in some of the scouting reports. The one I've thoroughly mentioned here is just his style of play that he's learned and been successful in is not transferable to the NFL really. So he has a pretty big learning curve. And with that, Bobby, as you kind of alluded to, is this, maybe it's drama, maybe it's not. It sure sounded like drama with Ryan Tannehill. So Ryan Tannehill, the Titans' current QB1, made a comment that he, you know, he wasn't necessarily going to mentor Malik, that it's not really his job to mentor him. Since that comment was made, you know, people pointed out, oh, it was kind of taken out of context. And Ryan Tannehill's come back and said like, oh, I didn't really mean that. I'm going to help him out and get to know him like as best as I can. However, it's really hard to hear that comment and not be like, oh, okay. Yeah, especially given Tannehill's track record recently. And, you know, quite frankly, a lot of Titans fans don't want him there anymore. Some love him, some are like, this is just not working. So, you know, that's obviously when you're in a position where you're learning a completely new offense, maybe you're a little overwhelmed. And whether people expect a starting QB or other experienced QBs to mentor a younger QB or incoming QB, you know, that's up for debate. However, that kind of attitude, if that was a true comment, it's not gonna go well for Malik there. So hopefully he'll have a solid mentor. And then there's a lot of notes about how he's a fast guy, which is awesome. And he's also a pretty sturdy guy. However, he can get a little anxious in the pocket. He can rush throws. There were other notes of him kind of having issues with snaps and things like that. So it seems like, you know, if when he gets here and he gets in a situation where he has to get rid of the ball somehow, it might get a little messy. I noted he got sacked quite often. So yeah, it seems like, I think I also read like whenever he's confronted with somebody, he doesn't stare them down or stand his place. He kind of looks down and gives in. So those are some kind of weaknesses he'll have to kind of, you know, they're big ones. And he's going to have to grow into them. And the way he's kind of talked about is really sink or swim. Obviously for selfish purposes, I want to see him swim. And he seems like a really, really like neat guy. His story's neat. The way he tells it is really neat. And yeah, I mean, it's hard not to root for him. Like, I can't wait, you know, I can't wait to see what happens for him. But yeah, so that's kind of my rundown that I got so far for you.
Okay. Yeah, well, there's a lot to unpack. I mean, first off, there was a lot there. I mean, the thing with him in college, he did show that dual threat ability. He had 900 yards rushing per season, 27 rushing touchdowns in his two seasons at Liberty. But he also threw for 5,000 yards and 47 touchdowns through the air. Now, his player comps, of course, are going to be guys that are more mobile. But the first one that came up on Player Profiler is Justin Fields, another very successful quarterback in college. Did struggle his first season. But he also has comps to RG3 and Mike Vick. Now, I do think it's a good thing he doesn't have to play year one. So I guess my thought is, and of those comparables, anything kind of stand out to you, maybe an RG3 versus a Justin Fields and a Mike Vick?
Well, I mean, I don't think he would be like RG3, but maybe that would be awesome. And I hope he doesn't get injured like him. But yeah, I could see a little bit of Justin Fields there. I think he might have a bit more of a struggle just because of who he's been competing against. And again, kind of the offensive style. So it might take a little longer, but yeah, I could totally see that.
Yeah. And when you're looking at, so I like to look at the coaching staff too, to see if they're type of ties to a mobile QB in the past. Todd Downing, not really, but he has worked with younger quarterbacks, Matthew Stafford, Derek Carr. But one guy that stood out to me was Dante Culpepper way back in the day.
Oh my God.
Minnesota Vikings. Yes, he was on a coaching staff with Dante Culpepper as the starter, who rushed for 500 yards. He was very mobile, so that gave me some signs of encouragement. But Mike Vrabel, when he came over to the Titans, they had Marcus Mariota. Mariota in 2018 was very mobile. He actually had his best rushing season that year. And Ryan Tannehill hasn't been terrible, averaging about 268. Yeah, exactly. 270 yards rushing. So
yeah, absolutely.
There is something to say there. But I think the coaching staff might not be bad.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, and I thought the same thing, you know, when I was reading about Malik Willis. I was like, you know what? They're used to this with Ryan Tannehill a little, being able to, you know, throw it and scramble as well. Like, they've already got that. So yeah. I do hope we do get to see him play because I am curious how it'll be compared to Ryan Tannehill, just because I'm not going to say it hasn't been a long time with him, but it has been a longer than I thought it would have been knowing the Titans quarterback situation, and there's a lot of turnover. And it's hard to feel positive, honestly, from a fan standpoint, just because of, like I said, we got Marcus Mariota that didn't really pan out for the Titans. So and it's weird that the one that has panned out ish is recently is Ryan Tannehill. That's weird. So this will be refreshing, honestly. I'm excited to see him play.
You would hope they kind of lean into the coaching philosophy that the Ravens did with Lamar Jackson. Lean into his strengths.
Yes.
Don't shy away from him being a runner. You know, treat him as if, you know what, if you know you have to slide, avoid injuries. Like, Lamar Jackson had an MVP season because they leaned into that rushing. So you would hope that we've seen it already in the NFL. It works in the NFL. You can win that way. So you hope the Titans would do that. One of the things that is a question mark is going to be the long-term weapons outside of Treylon Burks, because Burks, of course, first-round pick, an absolute stud. But Robert Woods has zero dead cap and coming off a major injury, heading into his age 30 campaign. Austin Hooper's only signed for 1 year. And then after that, you have a bunch of guys that are all day three picks. Dez Fitzpatrick, Nick Westbrook-Akeem Flash is an undrafted free agent. But all the players are day three guys. So any concerns long-term with the lack of weapons? Or do you think if he is the starter in 2 or 3 years, his legs will carry him maybe for fantasy purposes?
That's a tough question. And actually, you know, that was a good segue from Lamar Jackson, because same thing I wonder with him. I think I even said at some point last season, like tweeted or something like, this is, I like the way Lamar Jackson plays and he's fun to watch. This is not sustainable. So I definitely think there's an issue there where it is like, how sustainable is this? You know, right now he's like 23 and you can get away with a lot more when you're that age and haven't been hit as much than later. And then the Titans also have had some pretty bad luck with injuries. Yep. So, I mean, because, you know, there have been so many injuries that then inflict other injuries. So, yeah, I mean, I worry about that myself. I think he'll be a little protected initially. Like you said, as long as Tannehill doesn't get hurt, you know, or not hurt for long, then he probably won't see that much playing time initially for year one. So honestly, I feel like the most comfortable answer I have is like, we'll see. I worry about it too. Yeah. That is a very real worry with anybody that's that physical. And like you said, a dual threat. So yeah, we'll see.
Well, yeah, exactly. I mean, the other thing with this whole situation is this team, it was the number one seed just last year in the AFC. And yes, Tannehill looked good, but they have no AJ Brown. They're bringing in a rookie. And the other problem here is the offensive line. I mean, the offensive line was middle of the pack last year, but they lost two starters, Roger Stafford and David Quisenberry, to the Bills. And now they're bringing in young players there. You could very easily see a deterioration of the offensive line. What if Derrick Henry doesn't return to form due coming off his injury? Is there a shot that we see this kid at the end of the season? Like, do you have any, what would you give the odds? 10% that we see him in the last few weeks of the year?
Oh man. Yeah. I mean, I would maybe even a little more than that. I would say, like, you mean one time before the end of the year, or just like regularly?
I would say maybe the last, if they're like, let's say 6-9 heading into like the weeks, like 16, you think they would go right to him, or you think Tannehill's finishing the season?
I think I could see them try him at least once. So okay. Yeah, I could see it just because it wouldn't be the craziest. In the past, they've done similar. They've had like kind of platoon quarterbacks a few times in the past too. So I wouldn't see it being too crazy as long as all goes well with him and seems okay with him. I could definitely see it being a thing where if they're tanking again too, fans are just going to complain so much that, you know, ultimately it's going to be like, let's try this. Kind of like they did with Justin Fields and the Bears and Andy Dalton. I always just want to automatically call him Red Rifle now.
I'm a ginger, so Andy Dalton, yeah. He's the closest to my heart, so yeah. I love it. Nice. Well, let's talk quickly about ADP before we close out. He's going 18th overall in those Dynasty rookie drafts. He's actually going ahead of Kenny Pickett, who's also going ahead of – yeah, interesting, yeah. Right? But it's the dual threat, I guess. But he's also going ahead of running backs like Zamir White and ahead of wide receivers like Alex Pierce. I guess, do you like Malik Willis at that range, or you think that's a little high for him in Dynasty leagues?
I am surprised a little about him with being over Kenny Pickett. I know that's the way they were even like drafted before, but I don't know, maybe because of, we just haven't seen him at the level, you know, I mean, like playing in the Division Ones, like the Big Tens and the SEC, those are like mini, basically like mini NFL. So it's just not a level I feel like we've seen him at yet. So it's really hard to say. So that's definitely why I would probably knock him a little lower. I feel like he's not as much of a guarantee. However, you know, it's weird out there for quarterbacks right now with everybody retiring and then, you know, it's a bunch of new guys. So I can totally see people. And if you missed out on some of these new guys that are being dominant, it hurts. So I could definitely still see though people going for him if they have maybe one of the newer guys and want to have somebody else that's developing, or you know, even one of the older guys too, that's not going to retire like next year, but maybe in a few years. So yeah, I feel like it is a little high though, just based on, we don't really know how he's going to do. I hope he does well, but it's just hard to fathom.
I love the fan optimism. Well, that's all we have for today for Malik Willis. I love it. I feel confident. I'm in with you. You have my support. Before we go though, Keelan, we want to make sure you promote your current level. Anything new upcoming on Razzball or any other sites you write at?
Yeah, sure. So thank you. And yes, right now people can find me on Razzball. I do the baseball injury report. It's called Ambulance Chasers. It comes out every midnight central on Saturday and every Saturday. So follow me there. And then I also do White Sox stuff for Southside Sox. So if you're a White Sox fan, feel free to join me. Otherwise, ignore that.
Well, folks, that's all we have for today. Thank you once again, Keelan, for jumping on the show about Malik Willis. And make sure you're also subscribing, people. Come on. We're having a bunch of fun on the Razzball Fantasy YouTube channel. So make sure you subscribe, leave a comment, throw up a like. Exactly. You get
push
you
the
get
button.
You get podcasts at bars, people. Let's go. But make sure you're also going to TikTok and IG to check out Razzball Fantasy and go to razzball.com. Make sure you're following Keelan on Twitter at Keelan_12foot, by the way, and that's FT, and myself, FT. Bobby LaMarco. Yes.
Bobby.
I'm your host. Yeah, thank you guys again for joining. We're out of here, folks.